John chapter 3, we'll start with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, solemnly I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or clearly known that they are wrought in God. Lord Jesus, this morning, I just want to present you in the new birth, the whole reason you came to the earth. And I'm just asking that you would be able to have your way. I ask you would hide me behind the cross and help you to be seen, Jesus. I want you to be seen, high and lifted up. And I ask that you would grip each one of our hearts, and that, Lord, we would look at the meaning of why you came and how that applies in our lives and our need to be born again. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. There's nobody like you. Amen. In verses 1 through 13, if I'm giving you like an outline, verses 1 through 13, Jesus is in a conference with a man named Nicodemus. And Christ teaches him the necessity of the new birth. Verses 14 and 15, the effect of that message is produced by faith in his death. And then verses 16 and 17, God's great love for mankind in sending his Son for our salvation, in verses 18 through 21, and Jesus shows the condemnation for unbelief. There's two kinds of people in the world. There's actually one kind of person in the world, and that's sinners. There's two kinds of sinners. There's lost sinners, and there's saved sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. Nobody has to try to do that. It's just something we start off with. That's our nature, is to be a sinner, to be a rebel toward God, toward light, toward righteousness, toward truth. When someone is born again, God comes to live inside of them. First thing that he does is he forgives us of our sin. He cleanses us. He makes us in right standing with God. Then he comes to live inside of us as the Holy Spirit. Our body becomes a temple of God. And when he comes to live inside of us, he gives us his nature. Before that, we had a heart that would be like I just told somebody this morning. I'm so glad you're tender-hearted. Before we're saved, we have like a hardened heart toward God. We have a hardened heart toward people. People hurt us. We want to cut them off. We're selfish. We're self-focused. Every one of us in the world is like that. Every one of us. And when God comes inside, the Bible says that he takes out of us a stony heart and he puts a fleshly or a tender heart, his heart, inside of us. We start desiring the things of God. We start wanting what God wants. We start looking at people and nature through God's eyes. We think different. We feel different about things than we did before. I ask you, what is a doctor? Say what?
Liar.
Wait a minute. Okay, I know. I know what you're saying. That's because of the daughter. Okay. What is a doctor? One who practices medicine. What else would you say about a doctor? How long does it take them to become one? 8 to 12 years, right? Okay. And would you not say to be a doctor is like a title of respect, a title of honor? Well, this man, Nicodemus, was a ruler of the Jews. He was someone who expounded or explained the law of God. He had a doctorate. Like we go to college and we'll get a degree, a bachelor, master's, and then you work for a doctorate is the next one up. You have to spend a lot of time to get that. Well, this man had a doctorate in the law, okay? And yet, I want you to notice what he says in verse 2. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He said, Rabbi. The word rabbi means learned one. It means my master, my teacher, a doctor in the law. Now here's a man who has a lot of learning in religious things. He understood the Word of God. He read the Word of God. He memorized it. When I was over in Israel a couple of years ago, people, everywhere you went, on the buses, in public, people were carrying their Old Testament, and they were reading it, and they were memorizing it. Many people over there have the whole Old Testament memorized, especially the first 5 books, because it's the law, and it's what they base their life on, living this law. Here's a man who's a doctorate, but he has a doctorate, but he meets someone that he calls his teacher, his mentor, his master. He calls him doctor. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now get this. He goes, Master, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. What did he believe about Jesus? I'll just wait. Sorry? That he was sent from God. What else do we see here? What else? What did he believe about Jesus? Verse 2. Sorry, when I was growing up, there was this cartoon called Tom Terrific, and you had to put on your little funnel, and you had to put on your thinking caps and think. So I'm making you think today. What did he believe about Jesus? He's a teacher. What else? He said he's a teacher. He said we know you were sent from God. He said, nobody can do what you can do. What else did he believe about Jesus? Oh, but he didn't, that's not what this verse says. That's not what this verse says. See, I'm going there. That's where I'm going. You're getting ahead of my notes here. Go ahead. That's right. It was like, okay, you were sent from God. You could do what nobody else can do. You're a teacher. But he says, you're not just a teacher. He said, I'm a teacher of the whole nation, and you're my teacher. That's what he believed about Jesus. This whole passage is talking about being born again. Now, in context, let's do this. What do you believe about Jesus? Because you see, a lot of people believe, everybody that you meet believes something about Jesus. But what do you believe about Jesus? Who is he? What do you believe about him? I'm asking you. What do you believe? He's God in the flesh. Is that what you believe? Good. What else do you believe? That's right. Let's sing that song. He got the whole world. What else? What do you believe about Jesus? There's no one like him. What else? Okay. He's faithful. What else? Who is Jesus? He died for us. He's God. Watch this. You know what's amazing? This man who was a leader of the whole Jewish nation, but what he believed about Jesus, what he believed before he came to Jesus, if he would have died, he would have gone to hell. What do you believe about Jesus? Every person on the planet is going to have to deal with Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? See, I don't have to deal with Muhammad. I don't have to deal with Allah. I don't have to deal with Confucius. I don't have to deal with Buddha. I don't have to deal with any of those. But everybody on the planet has to deal with Jesus. Who do you believe Jesus is? Sorry? The only way to get to God. That's where we're going. I want you to look at Matthew 1:23. Matthew 1:23. Are you there? I better get there. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Do you believe that Jesus is God with us, God in the flesh? Look at John chapter 5 and verse 18. John chapter 5, verse 18. Are you there? John 5:18. It says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but had said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Turn to John 1:29. John 1:29. Who is Jesus to you? John 1:29. Before Jesus was born, 6 months before he was born, his cousin, John the Baptist, was born. Because he came to this earth, his whole mission was to be a forerunner, to go before Jesus, to kind of wake everybody up, kind of like Glenn did, wake up! You know, he was kind of like doing that. Because there had not been, for the last 400 years, at that time in history, there had not been anyone sent from God. Because the people, God was not moving for 400 years, because the people, he had given them the law, and given them the prophets, the preachers, and they would kill them. They wouldn't listen to them. And God's like, okay, you don't want to hear? I'll just wait. And he gave them 4 years. And the world got desolate. And things got really bad. And there was a bad time in history. And there was a lot of murder and a lot of bad stuff going on. He said, you want that way? Okay. And he was quiet. And then he sent John the Baptist, kind of like a wake-up call. Someone's getting ready to come whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie. And then Jesus showed up. And in John 1:29, as Jesus walked by, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, check it out. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Who is Jesus to you? In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, very solemnly, I say unto thee, except you're born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. You could have warm fuzzies. You could go to church. You could give your money. You could do all those things. I meet people all the time. I used to ask people, are you a Christian? In America, it seemed like everybody I asked, they said they were a Christian. I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe they don't know what the word Christian means. That's why I don't call them Christians. I call them Christians. Because you can't find Christ in a lot of Christians with a magnifying glass. You know, people will say to me sometimes when they talk to me in my business, and they'll find out I'm a preacher, or they'll find out I'm a Christian. And they'll say, well, I'm afraid to do business with Christians. I've had other ones that have ripped me off. You know, they use that. And I go, yep, there's a whole lot of people that are mislabeled. They wear a name tag, but it don't fit them. So what I started asking people instead of, are you a Christian, is if you were to die today, so I'm asking you, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? That changes things. Because if I ask, if I pulled one of you out of the crowd, and every one of you is hoping I don't, if I pulled one of you out of the crowd and said, let me ask you, let's come up here and let me ask you. And you said, oh yeah, I think I'm going to heaven. And I said, good. So if you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? And the answers that I hear a lot of times from people don't match up with this book. It's not whether it matches up with me. I'm not the gatekeeper to heaven. I'm just a sign. I'm pointing to Jesus. I'm just a sign. He's the way. You got to come through the cross. You got to come through the blood. Look at verse 3. Except a man be born again, he can't see, he can't enter, he can't understand heaven, life. He's stuck in the existence of this lower physical world. This is all he knows. So everything that they go to talk about, everything they think about, everything they live for, when somebody's not born again, it pertains to this world. They don't understand. See, everybody's out for number one, for me. And I don't mean me. I mean whoever you are. We're out for number one. What makes me feel good? What do I think? What do I feel? Because that's where we live. We're born physically, and we're alive to the physical. But Jesus said you must be born again, born of the Spirit. Physical produces physical results. Spiritual produces spiritual results. I want you to look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. I think it's 11 and 12, if I remember correctly. Yep, 11 and 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, very solemnly I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Here's the key to getting through the barrier from being not born again to being born again. You see, it all has to do with Jesus, But let's do this. What don't you know? You see, we all think we know so much. But what don't you know? What are you willing to believe? What are you willing to receive? The Word says that we have to be born again to know God. We have to be born again to enter into heaven. We have to be born again to even see or understand the things of heaven. Do you know, you say, well, if we can't see or understand it, then how can we get there? Because before you're born again, what you do understand, because God so clearly shows it to you, is that He loves you. Remember we were singing that song, He's for you. Do you believe God's for you? I'm glad three of you do. Do what if the rest of you don't believe that? Do you believe God's for you? Isn't that cool, Elisa? Huh? Is God for you? Now watch this. God's for you. He loves you 100% whether you ever love Him or not. He is for you. He is not against you. That's what I was singing when we were singing this. He's for me. Thank you that you're not against me. I am so glad He's not against me. I wouldn't stand a chance if He was. He is for me. The reason I'm born again is because He's for me. The reason I'm born again is because I wasn't looking for Him, but He was looking for me. I was the lost sheep He came looking for. I was the one that He opened my eyes. How does somebody get born again? When they can't see or understand the things of God, how does somebody get born again? Because God comes and deals with us and lets us know, I love you just like you are. I love you. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. But I can't have fellowship with you because you've got sin. And every one of us has to deal with that. Do I have sin? What do I do with this? And see, some people try to, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. We're getting ready to come the first of the year, and there's going to be millions of people across America, or maybe across the world, they're going to think, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do things different this year. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's what do you do with Jesus? Other people, it's like, I'm going to try being good. I'm going to start doing good things. I'm going to look at all the good things I do, and they want to start weighing it. God, look at all the good things I did. I know I did bad things, but I'm trying to do more good things so they outweigh the bad things. If that could take care of us, then Jesus didn't need to die on the cross, did He? If that would take care of us, would Jesus have needed to die on the cross? It comes down to, do you realize that you need, what are you going to do with your sin? What are you going to do with your sin? What's the result of your sin? Do you understand the result? We don't deserve to go to heaven, do we? But Jesus died on the cross, making it possible for us to go there. That's why we've got to be born again. Are you willing to receive that? The one person needed is Jesus Christ. He's the God-anointed Savior, the Rescuer, the Deliverer. Now, who is He? What does the Word of God say about Him? He was in heaven. He came down from heaven. He went back up to heaven. Meanwhile, He had to be lifted up on a pole for all the people to see. I want you to look at Numbers, the book of Numbers. It's like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And go to chapter 21 and verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. 4 through 9. Are you there? Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Back at the beginning of the Bible. You ready? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 21, verse 4. You ready? Talk about the children of Israel. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, or to go around. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people of God, spake against God and against Moses, the man of God, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, for our soul loatheth or hates this light bread, this manna that you're giving us every day. They were complaining. You know, God blesses praise. He doesn't bless complaining. What can you thank Him for? But I was just in a car accident. Are you still alive? Yes. Then praise Him for being alive. Yeah, but look at my car. You have insurance? Yeah. Well, praise Him that you're alive, whether you have insurance or not. You see, it's a matter of how you look at things, because He doesn't bless complaining. Look what happened when the people complained. Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, snakes, among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The people of God died. Therefore, the people came to Moses, the leader, and said, "Whoa, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Moses went to talk to God about what was going on. And the Lord said unto Moses, "I want you to make a fiery serpent, you know, like out of brass, and set it up on a pole. Raise it up." Where is it? "That everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You got the picture? People of God didn't like what was going on. They complained against God and the representative of God. God said, enough of that. And He sent a bunch of fiery serpents, deadly snakes in, and they began to bite the people, and people are dying right and left. And the people come to Him and go, "Hey, we messed up. We shouldn't have spoken against you and God. You know, please forgive us. You know, ask God to stop this, you know, to not kill us all." Because people, everybody was dying. All these people were dying. Many people died. And so when Moses asked God, "What do I do? God, please have mercy on the people." God said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take and make a serpent that represents the serpent that are on the ground, make it of brass, and then put it on a pole and lift it up." And He said, "Now I want you to have somebody carry the pole and walk through the camp." Now you got to understand, there's 3 million people, something like 3 million people of God that had come out of, been delivered out of Israel, out of Egypt, and are going through the wilderness. And He says, "And you walk around with this pole, and you tell them, if anybody will look at this pole and believe that this is my answer, then even if they've been bitten, they'll be healed." You say, why did God do that? Man, I'm glad you asked. Look it over, John chapter 3. Go back to John chapter 3. I want you to look at verses 13 through 15. It says, "And no man hath ascended," talking about Jesus, "no man hath ascended up to heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Now watch. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Everybody, they had sinned. The snakes went through and were biting people because God sent them. It was a punishment. It was a judgment on their sin. Every one of us has sinned. There is judgment on us, every single one of us. Down in our hearts, I don't have to tell somebody they're a sinner. Every single person on the planet knows it. You know down inside. You're condemned down inside. You know it. You're guilty. Okay? God said this same thing. He said, what I'm going to do is, He says, I want you to make a pole, and you put it, and then you carry it through the camp, and everybody that will look at this pole, they're going to live. Some people were laying in their tents, and the wife's like, "Sonic, just they're walking through." And he's like, "Nah, I don't believe in that." So he died. And then others, they just looked and said, "Okay, I receive that. I believe that that will cure me. Immediately they were healed. Jesus is the one lifted up for us, as if he became sin for us. Father, give me what Harvey deserves. Treat me as if I'm a liar and a thief and a whoremonger. Treat me as if I was the drug dealer. And Jesus became sin for us. He became sin for me. Father, treat me as if I did all those things that she did. Thought those things. And Jesus, God in the flesh, was lifted up. When you look and believe on him, Jesus, I needed you to die for me. I needed someone to heal me. I needed someone to provide a way to be my Savior, my Deliverer. I needed someone to take my sin. I sin. I'm responsible. I'm going to die. But I believe you died in my place. It's that simple. It's Jesus died for me. What does it mean? You see, you can believe in him. When he walked through the camp, some people looked and were healed. Some people didn't look and they died. Why is it? Look in America. Everybody knows the name of Jesus. Do you think they're all going to heaven? I'm sorry. Maybe not all of them. How about most of them? I mean, just the ones you know. And what you see going on in the world. What do you think? You think they're like Jesus? You think they got Jesus inside of them? You think they're going to heaven? God's going to say, come on in! Come on in! Is that what he's going to say? I feel like I'm supposed to show you a verse. Where is that verse, Lord? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Would you turn there? Matthew, only if you're brave. Well, you better turn there whether if you're a chicken or not. You better turn there. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Okay, here we go. You ready? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter you, he's talking to. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, which leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Look at verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? Do you know? What does it mean to believe on Jesus? What do you think it means? Have faith? Have faith in what? Thank you, Steve. You made that so simple. It's to have faith in what he did. Did you... That's why I ask these questions. Did you personally need Jesus to die for you? Did you personally need Jesus to die for you? Did you believe that what he did would pay for your sin? Yes? No? Did you ask him to forgive you? Did you ask him to forgive you that you're the one who killed him? Did you thank him for loving you, for forgiving you? Did you thank him for accepting you? Did you thank him for going all the way for you? Believing in Jesus is so simple. But it starts with us admitting what we deserve. It starts us admitting where we are. See, we need him. If somebody doesn't think they need him, they could believe in him as a historical figure. I believe in George Armstrong Custer. That's not going to get me to heaven. It's not going to change my life. I believe in Abraham Lincoln. I believe in George Washington. I believe in Genghis Khan. I believe in them. You know what I'm saying? I acknowledge them as a historical figure. The difference with Jesus is my need, he's the need meter. My sin, he's the deliverer from my sin. He's the payment for my sin. I believed on him. I've explained that before. You could believe a chair would hold you up. I believe in Abraham Lincoln. I believe in him. Is that helping me? But when you believe on Jesus, I'm resting in him. I'm depending on him. Jesus, I can't get to heaven without you. I'm trusting in you. I'm putting my faith on you, Jesus. All on you. You know, this whole money thing they were talking about earlier is just another level of taking us deeper in trusting God. See, we trust him with our soul, we get born again. Now he wants you to trust him with your life. Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me and do things my way and trust me with your money so I can bless you and take care of you and give you those desires that I put inside of you? But I have a reason. He says, I want to support the house of God. I want to support the people of God. I want to reach out. I want to be able to reach out to the whole community. He said, but it starts with you trusting me with your life. Every area of your life. Because it's like getting saved, but you don't get baptized. You say, I believe that Jesus died for me, but you never got baptized. Okay? Baptism follows salvation. Baptism is a picture of the death. See, here's the water. You're standing in the water. You're telling everybody. It's the first thing God commanded. It's not an option. You don't do it when you want. You don't do it the way you want. You don't do it where you want. Oh, well, I did it over here. I did it over there. Does that line up with the Scripture? The Scripture says when somebody gets saved, that they're supposed to get baptized as soon as possible. In the Scripture, they did it the same day. And they would get baptized. And when they got into the water, they went under the water and came back up to show that they're believing that Jesus died for them, he was buried, and he rose again. That's called the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Y'all probably never heard that before, have you? Do it with me, would you? Hold your arm up. Left arm. Left arm. Yeah, this is my left arm, right? Left arm. Right arm. Death. I got that with me. Death, burial, resurrection. Do it again. Death, burial, resurrection. Do it again. Death, burial, resurrection. Wait a minute, I can't hear you. Y'all got to be louder than me. Death, burial, resurrection. That is somebody, when somebody gets saved, then God says, if you're trusting in me, then that means you want me to be your Lord. The first thing I want you to do is not be ashamed of me. I wasn't ashamed to hang up on there for you. I want you to not be ashamed of me. I want you to follow me in scriptural baptism. Jesus himself got baptized. Not that he needed that. He did it as our example. He did it to fulfill righteousness. He says, and I want you to do that because I want you, you're making a commitment. You're laying your life down just like he laid his life down. He wants us to lay our life down to follow him. We were in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Do you see what it said? Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction. And many people there be which go in there. Many people go to hell. Can I tell you something? I'm going to anyway. When I met Christ, I was so amazed that I was 20 years of age before I understood what it was to be born again. But I told you, by the time I was 20, six different churches, six different kind of denominations had baptized me. What they call baptizing. It wasn't in the Bible. They just dunked me underwater. You know, it didn't, They just got me all wet. I mean, what, you know, okay, fine. Okay, give me a towel, now I'm dry. Okay, let's go on. Because it didn't do me any good. One time, I went to a Bible study with my folks, and the person was teaching, and I kept raising my hand saying, excuse me, and I would ask questions. And I asked so many questions, they finally asked me, would you please wait until the end, and then we'll talk to you, because you're interrupting. I'm like, okay. So I waited till the end. When I did, about 20 of them gathered around me and started shooting questions. Bing, 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 bing. And I'm answering questions. I mean, they're just like, I'm in a spelling bee or something, you know? And I'm answering, boom, 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 boom. Because I knew about Jesus. Because I'd gone to church. I wasn't too broke to pay attention. I listened to what was going on. I went to church. I listened. I looked at them. I heard everything was said. I got it. A bunch of knowledge. A bunch of information. Just like going to school in America. They just pack your head with a bunch of knowledge, and then at the end of the week, they give you a pop quiz or a little test. Do you know this? Yeah. You don't even remember it a week later. You didn't learn it. It's just something that you memorized enough to put down on a piece of paper, so they give you a passing grade, right? They're not teaching you to think. They're not training you. They're not helping you with life. They're just packing your head with a bunch of knowledge. I guess they want you to become an encyclopedia, you know, in pants or something. I don't know. I knew about Jesus, and all these people around me are shooting questions at me, and I could answer because I'd been in church. I know. God, boop, 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 answer. And they finally said, well, you know what you need to do? You need to get baptized. I said, but I've already done that a few times. Other places. Oh, no. You need to do it with us. That makes all the difference in the world. And I'm like, okay. I didn't tell you. It was January, and they baptized at a lake. So we got in the cars, and we went down to the lake. And I got in the water. I walked out in the water, waist deep. That preacher, he came out there, and he said whatever he said. I don't want to be disrespectful. And he put me in the water. Whoosh, whoosh. Everybody on the shore is clapping. Yay, yay, oh, yay. My dad and mom were there. Yay. I was yelling too. Give me a towel. I'm cold. Okay. I put the towel on. My folks said, come to our house. We're going to have a party for Harvey. We got to my house. I'm a teenager. I'm about 16, 17, somewhere in there. We get to my house. My dad's house. And they're all eating, you know, cake and cookies and ice cream and Cokes and whatever. And they're all excited. They're all smiling and they're hugging me and they're patting me on the back. And inside, I was miserable. Inside, I was empty. I went in the water as somebody who didn't know Jesus. And I came out of the water as somebody who was wet who didn't know Jesus. And they're all excited. I did everything they told me. I listened on purpose. I tried as hard as I could. I did whatever they told me. They all pat me on the back, tell me I'm a good old boy. And if I would have died within 5 minutes, I would have gone straight to hell. When I met Jesus and I was 20 years old, when I met him, 7:55 p.m. on a Thursday, I meet Jesus. I am born again. Jesus became my Savior, not just a historical figure hanging on a cross. He became my Savior. I met him. I was born, birthed into the family of God. Just like I was born physically into this world and became alive to everything physical, when I was born into the family of God, I became alive to things spiritual. A load was lifted off of me. This super love came inside of me. Everything seemed different. Okay? And it was like, wow! And then I started telling everybody about what happened. Yeah, yeah, going to church. Yeah, yeah, religious. Yeah, yeah, I know. I've done that too. I just met Jesus! What do you mean you did that too?
What do you mean?
Yeah, religion.
What do you mean?
I just met Jesus.
What I forgot to tell you was, the day after I met him, I went door to door. And when people would open the door, and I'd knock on the door and they'd open the door, and I'd say, "Did you know Jesus is real?
I go to church. I ain't talking about going to church. You know God's real."
Shut the door and they call the police. So I go to the next house. Open door.
"Did you know God's real? I'm a Sunday school teacher." "So what? Did you know God's real?"
Slam. Call the police. I go to the next house. I knock on the door. You've been practicing. I know. I guess you got something you're going to do to me. Some karate thing, right? Okay. You're going to jab me with this thing? Yeah.
"Did you know God's real?"
"I'm a preacher." Yeah. Shut the door. Call the police. The police show up. "Boy, come here." I walked over to him. "What are you doing?"
I said, "Did you know God's real?"
I tried to tell him about Jesus. And he said, "Sounds like you got born again." That's what the policeman said. "Sounds like you got born again." I said, "I think that's what they called it." I didn't know anything. I was a newborn, for crying out loud. I didn't know all the words yet. You know? I said, "I think that's what they called it." While I'm talking to him, a call comes over the radio. "Have you found that boy yet? We had 3 more calls of people he scared. Find him quick and get him in jail." He said, 10-4. He said, "That's why I was sent here, to get you, to put you in jail." He said, "You're scaring everybody."
I said, "I just met God." I said, 6 different churches baptized me and I'm going to hell. They got me all wet. Some of them didn't even give me a towel. I said, "What good was it doing me?" They all pat me on the back. "Oh, you learned some verses. Oh, you learned some history. Oh, you said these little words. Do you know Jesus?" "I met Jesus. I just want everybody to know Jesus. I don't care what else. I just want you to know Jesus. And then I want you to learn to walk with him every day. Because you need him. You need him. You don't just need him for your daughter. You need him for every area of your life. You need him. You know what's amazing? You need him in areas you're not even aware of that you need him. When we finally pray, when we finally call out to him, when we finally obey, we're only taking a tiny little step in this whole big circle of stuff we need in our life where we need God. Are you with me? I just want you to know Jesus. That's all I want, is for you to know Jesus. I want you to know him, because when you know him, he's going to come inside of you. It's going to change everything inside of you. You're going to want him. And then what happened to me was, when I started talking to people, all of a sudden I became aware. I don't think anybody else knows him. There's hardly any of them that seem to know him everywhere I'm going. "Do you know him?" "I go to church." No. "Do you know him?" "I'm a preacher." No. "You know him?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "Uh-huh." "Okay. Do you know him?" "Sure. Sure, he's down at the church down there, right?" Do you know him? Let me ask you a question. When did you meet him? How did you meet him? Where were you when you met him? See, if you knew that, and that was important to you, because if you met him, that would be important. Nothing else is even comes close to comparing. And I became so aware that the majority of people don't know him. And then about 5 or 10 years later, God said to me one day, "Harvey,
Then meanwhile, he called me to preach. I'm in church. I'm still learning. I'm in a place like this, a training center. I'm just learning about God. Started going to Bible college. And one day God says to me, Harvey, do you know? He says, have you noticed in church how a lot of the people don't seem to know me? They don't seem to be in love with me. They don't seem to care about the things I care about. And I go, yeah. He said, 85%. That means 8.5 out of every 10 people. Okay? So what do we got? 5, 6, 9, 10. These right here, 8.5 of them are on their way to hell. Only 1.5 of them know Jesus. And those are the ones in church. Now, how many of them are not in church? My heart. See, when I met him, I was just like, I wanted everybody. I was like, why didn't somebody else tell me? Well, the reason they didn't tell me is because they don't know either. I want you to know. Because, Paulie, you got a whole family. And you got all kinds of people you know that God wants to reach through you. And he's got a call in your life. And Nate, and Steve, and Cheryl, and Tim, and John, and Rick. Every one of you, Justin. Every one of you. Every one of you. There are people that he wants you to have his heart for them. Let him live through you. And bring forth. That's why we did this. There, let's do it again. Ready? Ready? Come on, come on, come on. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. That is the gospel. That is what saves somebody. Somebody believing that Jesus died for their sin. He was buried, but he's God. You can't keep him down. He rose from the dead. We're going to be risen from the dead. See, you could kill this body, but Harvey's going to immediately go to be with God in heaven. But one day this body's going to be raised. The people that don't know him, they're not going to have that. There's going to be a resurrection, but that's just so that they stand before God and they're going to give an account. And he's just going to basically say, what did you do with Jesus? Well, I believed in Jesus. God's like, how? What? Historical figure? When did you realize that you needed him to die for you? When did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? When did you accept him as your Savior? When was the time when you were born again? You know that you were born on a certain day and you celebrate your birthday. That's a first birth. When's your second birth? My first birth is June 22nd, 1956. My second birth is July 1st, 1976. That's when I was born again. July 1st, 1976. I'm asking you, I'm challenging you today. Ask God. Not me. Ask God. Wouldn't you like to have confidence when I go to talk to you instead of like, uh-oh, I hope he doesn't ask me again. Uh-oh, I don't know what to say to him when he asks me. Oh, I better avoid him. Okay. You see, it's not about you dealing with me. Why did God put me in your life? Because I got a big nose and I stick it in your business. It's to make you think. It's to challenge you. Because God loves you. And he loves you just like you are, Reuben. But he loves you too much to stay there. And he knows there's so much more for you. And you know that. And he's just going to keep loving you. Just keep having to come hugging you. And love you. You see? You understand? Because God loves you. And God wants you. And he's not just... See, he wants you to become part of his family. Right now, maybe you're just part of his creation. But he wants you to become part of his family. He wants you to know what real family is. He wants you to know what it is to be completely loved and accepted and believed in. Grace. Believed in. Desired for who you are and not what you do. We're not trying to get you to do anything. You can come here the rest of your life and sit in that chair. Okay, you can do that. But I want to help you with your life to fulfill so you feel fulfilled and satisfied inside. I know that's what you want. But it starts with being born again and then learning how to be part of the family of God. Hanging out with God. Hanging out with Him. And having His heart so that when you go somewhere, your heart is like, where is this person going to go? Where do they know Jesus? Do they know my Jesus yet? I want to help them to know Jesus. And that doesn't mean you have to act like me. Aren't you glad? You don't have to act like me. But you know the death, the burial, and the resurrection story. You can share that with somebody in the way you would do it. Oh, kind and gentle. Give them a karate chop and do it. Whatever! You know, put a kung fu in their tutu. Whatever! The point is it's getting them to Jesus. Got to have a little humor, right? Just... Anyone can believe in Him. What does it mean to believe? Is it just to acknowledge historical facts? No. Or does one need to consider why He died? Why did Jesus die? What did He have? Why did He have to die? What caused His death? How does that apply to me? What do I need to do? What can I do? Believe God's word about Jesus. Admit my part in His death. Believe He was buried and rose again. Choose to humble myself. Admit He died for me. Admit that I caused His death. Ask Jesus to forgive me for causing His death. And then trust Him as my only hope to be saved from what I deserve. Receive Jesus as my Savior. Trust, believe, rest, rely, depend. Thank Him for caring enough for me to go through the pain, the suffering, and the death for me when I was oblivious, when I didn't even know either Him or my need. I'm going to read three verses and we're done. Turn to Colossians. Let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I knew we'd get there eventually. Colossians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. I'm challenging you to do something today. Ask these two questions. God, when did I meet you? Or where did I meet you? Did I tell you the story? Recently, I had a customer. I went to his house to do an estimate. And I told him I'd call you with the numbers tomorrow. But while I was there, somehow I talked about Jesus. He must have pulled it out of me. I don't know. And talked about Jesus and how I met him, right? The next day, I called him back and said, it's going to cost this much to do your job. And he said, okay. He said, Harvey, yesterday when you were here, you talked about like you knew when you met Jesus. I said, yeah. He said, but Harvey, I don't know when I met Jesus. This is a grown man around 45, something like that. And I said, God, what do you want me to tell him? Because I have a whole bunch of thoughts go through my mind. But I'm like, God, which one do you want me to tell him? Good idea, Steve. I always ask him, what do you want to say, Lord? You don't need to hear everything I got to say. What do you want me to say? I saw that. And so I asked him. I said, here's what you need to do. I said, would you like to know right now? And I'm asking you, would you like to know right now when you met Jesus? I said, then you ask God these two questions. God, take me back to the time or the place where I met you. I learned that when I came to Grand Rapids because I met all these Christian Reform people and they told me they'd always been saved. I'm just like, excuse me? Well, yeah, my folks were Christian and I was born in a Christian family and so I was just adopted in. I'm like, God don't have no grandchildren. You got to be born again. You got to be born again yourself. You ain't got no grandchildren. So I said, God, what do I do? How do I reach these people? He said, ask them because I met some of them and I believe they didn't know Jesus. And I said, but God, they don't know when. And he said, then tell them to ask me to take them back to the time or the place where they met Jesus. And I said that to this customer about 3 months ago. You know what he did? About 30 seconds, there was dead silence after I said that. I said, ask him to take you back to the time or the place when you met Jesus I said, but you got to ask yourself two questions when you do that. When did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? And I'm asking you, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? Oh, I don't really deserve to go to hell. Then you never got saved. Because you can't get saved until you realize you're lost. You can't get saved until you realize that you deserve to pay for your own sin, and that's eternity separated from God. It's a place, you know, where the boogeyman lives. They don't sell no ice water there. It's terribly hot. I said, ask yourself, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell, and did you personally need Jesus to die on the cross for you? There was 30 seconds of silence. And the man said, Harvey, I think I know when I met Jesus. I said, when? He said, this minute. He said, the last 20 minutes you've been talking to me, something's been happening inside of me that I've never had happen before. He said, you just introduced me to Jesus. This man is a teacher at Christian University. You see, he knew about Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. And God had me go there. See, I'm a secret agent for Jesus. God uses bathtubs and tile to get me in people's lives. And that's what happened with him. He had a tile shower, and I went to his house. And I said, you think I came here for your shower, didn't you? I said, I came here to get you to Jesus, you know. And he met Jesus. And you know what? You're gonna be at the grocery store. You're going to be at the gas station. Or you're going to be out hunting. One click, right? And I had that this week. Ask me afterwards, okay? I got a buck antidote this week. Cool. Doe, a deer, a female deer. Okay. And a buck. The buck stops here. See him? Anyway. Sorry. Did I say that? Yes, he did. Okay. Folks, a lot of you know Jesus. There may be some in here that don't. But you need to know when or where you were when you met him. You need to get that nailed down. Because if you don't know him, if you're not sure, let's make sure. Let's get that for sure. Because your whole life's going to start over. It could. Your whole life just start right over. Because up until you're born again, you're existing. And life, there's like no hope. You know, you run out of, and you look at people and you get bitter and cynical toward people because the way people treat you and act toward you and the things that people do. When you meet him, he restores hope. But he comes inside and he gives life. And it's like, that's when you get a chance to start living. That's when you get a chance to start living. But you got to meet him first. And you need to have that nailed down. And then when you get that nailed down, I don't know if it'll be next week or when, but God gave me, just woke me up this morning. I'm laying in bed. He's waking me up because I told you I don't wake up. I'm resurrected. And so I'm slowly doing the wake up process. I'm so glad my wife lets me lay in there until I get wide enough to, awake enough to open my eyes and get out. While I'm laying there, God just takes me into the book of Acts in chapter 2 and starts showing me about beginning steps for somebody when they first meet Jesus and God's way of walking with him. How to walk with Jesus. And you got to take beginning steps, just like the little babies. They take those first little steps and then they fall down. Okay? And then you pick them back up and they take a few steps and they fall down. Aren't they glad that those pampers are padded, you know? And they don't have to fall too far. If I fell down, that would hurt, you know? But they're like so close, you know? That's why God makes them that way, you know? They don't have to fall too far. But it's about knowing Jesus. It's about being born again. I'm going to ask everybody, close your eyes. I want to ask you, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven, raise your hand, please. I know 100% for sure. I know I'd go to heaven. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. If you don't know, I just want to pray for you. If you don't know, would you raise your hand? I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Look at those hands. Thank you. Jesus, thank you. Anyone else? I'm not sure, but I want to know. Would you please pray for me? Anyone else? Jesus, thank you for those that could raise their hands that know you. And I'm asking you would draw them. And I'm asking that, Lord, you would help each one of us to draw closer to you. And, Lord, that you would minister into their lives. And that, Lord, they would have a more intimate relationship with you. They would be in a place where you could bless them mightily in every area of their life. Then, Lord, those that raise their hands and say, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but I would like to. Lord, I lift them up to you, Jesus. I lift them up to you right now, Father. And I ask that you would minister in their hearts. I ask that you would draw their hearts. I ask that you would help them just make it. You've got to do the work. They've got to be born of your spirit. It's not me talking them into something or them just agreeing with a bunch of words. But it's you drawing them. And I'm asking that you would draw them unto Jesus. I'm asking that you would let them know how much they mean to you personally. Each one. That you love them. And that you want them. And that you died for them so that they could have eternal life. They could have their sin, all of it, past, present, future, forgiven. They could have a clean slate with God. They could walk with you. They could fulfill what you put them here for. I'm asking that you would minister to them. Holy Spirit, just attach to them and deal with them and bring them to the place of trusting in you, of seeing you, seeing their own situation, their own need, and then seeing you, Jesus, on the cross in their place. And that, Lord, I'd like to be the one, but whoever, I'd like to be the one that helps them to get to know you. And Lord, my heart goes out for each and every one. And I pray that every day I want you to bring them to my mind that I could pray for them because I care about each one of them. And I just say, thank you, Jesus.